You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. God bless you today. Happy Thursday to you. Thanks for joining us here on this Thursday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study in the Word of Almighty God. We're in an awesome study here on the radio in the book of Revelation. You've been hearing a couple things here. This is WGOD. Thank you for tuning in. This is the radio ministry brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. We are located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sundays at 10:30, Wednesdays at 6. We're in a study in the book of Galatians on Wednesday evening. We'd love to see you for one of our services. You just heard this last 2 days, my Sunday sermon from this past Sunday. We just started the book of Romans. We're going to have an excellent time as we just did last week through the book of Romans. We'll be continuing here in chapter 1 this coming weekend, Sunday morning at 10:30. On the other days here, we're in the book of Revelation. We left off here in chapter 12, and that's where we're at. For more information on this church, islandcommunitychurch.net. I got on a roll talking about the statement of faith the other day because I just can't stress enough how important that is to know what a church believes about Jesus, because that is the go-to place for corruption by wolves in sheep's clothing, by tares. Because remember, the Apostle Paul says, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Adrian Rogers used to say, this is where you're going to find the devil, in the pulpits across America and around the world. That's where you find the devil, not so much under a manhole cover, though we just saw him come out of a manhole cover. A few chapters ago, he had the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened up that proverbial manhole cover, and out come these demons. But he transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no big thing, no great thing, if his ministers also transform themselves. Metaschema is the word, to change your outward appearance. It's no great thing if his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. So when you're considering visiting a church, I encourage you, read their statement of faith. Read what they believe about the Son of God, because that's the place. And if they don't want you to know that, like a lot of politicians don't want you to know what they would do if they got an office, that's why they keep that secret until they get an office. Then they do what they want to do. But if a church is proud, they ought to put that on their website. This is what we believe about the Son of God. Put it out there for everyone to see. And if you don't have it out there, then I'm suspicious. Show it to me. Be proud of your statement of faith. You exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. He said himself in John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Let's lift up the Son of God. That's why our church is doing so good. That's why you can experience the presence of God when you come to our church. It's not about me. I just know the secret. We lift up the Savior at our church. It's all about him. Even in the book of Revelation, we read in chapter 19, verse 10, it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It's all about him. Now, we're in chapter 12, and this is this cosmic look I like to call it a little inside baseball. That is a glimpse that you normally don't get to see. When someone with the authority takes you behind a secret door, unveils and takes you behind the curtain, and you get a look at something that you normally wouldn't get. That's what we got here in chapter 12. Now, I made the comment, well, first, let me grab my other Bible, and let me read these first verses, and then I want to just explain a little bit about stars. So let's pick it up here, chapter 12, verse 1. Though today, we're going to look at Satan getting thrown out of heaven. That's the main point of where we're at here today. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Now, understand, this is about Israel. From the end of the church age on, the church is done at the end of chapter 3. There's no more message to the church. If you get this wrong, you're going to misinterpret the book of Revelation. This is about Israel. This is about God's plan with Israel, not his plan with the church, because God's plan with the church ended when the last Gentile took his seat. That's why the Bible says as much. That's why Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many will try to get in and will not be able. That's why we read blindness in part has happened to Israel until the full number of the Gentiles comes in, or the fullness, the last seat, I believe, hanging on the pearly gates outside of heaven is a sign that says maximum capacity. There's a limit. The Gentiles is like a milk carton with an expiration date on it. We read the Lord Jesus say in Luke chapter 21, I forget the verse number now, verse 24. He says, Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles has been fulfilled. You see, the day is coming when God, when the Lord Jesus is going to shut the door, and that'll be it for Gentiles. And he's going to resume his plan with the nation of Israel. So don't try to read church into this. Don't try to read church into 144,000 Jews who are sealed and have the seal of God on their forehead. Don't make the mistake of substituting the church for Israel, because this is Israel. Because God's plan for the Gentiles is done. It's done. When the last Gentile takes his seat, it's done. God closes the door. Otherwise, why even put the word today in the Bible? Don't waste your time putting the word today in the Bible if it doesn't matter. If you, as a Gentile, can reject Jesus your whole life and then get in on the last day a few minutes before he comes back, then don't even put the word today in there. Don't even put it. You wasted your time. Don't even put today in there if it doesn't matter. If today has no significance, then why even have an urgency in here? And he says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Of course, because you could die today and you never know. That is true. That's always a good reason for the urgency, is that you might not live anymore today. And then the question is, what would happen to you if you were to die today here on this Thursday? What would happen to you? But also, you got to factor in this, the Lord Jesus's closed door policy into your eschatology. The time is coming when he's going to close this door, because he says so as much. Even back in the Old Testament, Genesis 7:16, the parable of the 10 virgins, those that were ready went in with him to the marriage supper, and then the door was shut. That's Matthew chapter 25, around verse 12 and 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 24, when he urges you to strive to enter through the narrow gate, because many will try to get in. Now, those people aren't dead, but the door's been shut on them. Many will try to get in and will not be able once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door. So, make no mistake about it. This is not talking about the church. This is Israel, the apple of God's eye. He's not done with the nation of Israel. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. He mentioned that in Romans 11. He's talking about Israel. He says, don't be conceited, he tells us Gentiles. Don't think you're better than your Jewish neighbor down the street because you believe and they don't. Don't think you're better than them. He said, don't be conceited. This is God's plan all along is what he's trying to say. But the time has come and is going to come very soon that this door is going to be shut and he's going to resume his plan with Israel. Now, let's pick it up here again. Just this is Israel. This is a panoramic view of the birth of a nation, the birth of the Son of God, and the spiritual struggle that's going on behind the scenes. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. I want to look at that here just a minute. Let me finish reading. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child, a capital C in my Bible, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child, a capital C. Speaking of Christ, the Bible translators are telling you he's speaking of Jesus here. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child, capital C, her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she is a place prepared by God so that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So there's that number once again that we've seen here in the book of Revelation, 1,260 days or 42 months or a time times and a half a time all adds up to 3.5 years. Israel. Something's going to happen here, maybe at the middle point of the tribulation when things change, all you know what breaks loose here on earth. Now, where it says his tail, now remember, the dragon is symbolic of a person. Let's call him a person, fallen angel, Satan himself, because chapter 20 calls him that as much. Calls him, even chapter 12 here calls him that. So it's just symbolic. But when it says his tail drags a third of the stars, let me read to you Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, under the fall of Lucifer. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you've said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like El Elyon, or the Most High. Yet you will be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Now, I don't think he's talking about Maseroth and Betelgeuse and Alpha Centauri. He's not saying he's going to be out there amongst the stars. The stars is a reference to angels. You can read that in Job chapter 38 as well, when God says, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Where were you? Where were you when I created the heaven and the earth? Where were you when I created all this? Speak up if you were around. He can say that today, too, to some of these green-haired liberals out here on the Discovery Channel that have got everything figured out. God says to you, where were you when I did all that? Speak up if you've got understanding. I'm listening, he says. I'm listening. And he said, where were you when he created all this? And he said, and the morning stars sang together. The stars is a reference to angels. So when he says his tail drew a third of the stars out of heaven, understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. Here in this case, the stars are going to be angels. A third of the angels followed Satan in his fall and followed with him. Look around. Look at all. We can't see them physically, but look at all the demons out here in the world today. The Lord Jesus spent a third of his ministry casting out demons. What do you think a demon is? A demon is a fallen angel. A demon is a fallen angel who followed Satan in his fall. Now that leads me to another place. Let me turn here really quick, and that would be to the book of 2 Peter, where Peter writes, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Now, I don't understand it all, but I know from what I understand here that a whole lot of angels followed the devil when he fell. And there's your book, chapter, and verse. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Some are locked up. Some are in chains. We read that some are, I believe, they're evil angels. They're bound up on the great, under the Euphrates River. We read before, that was chapter 9. So that's the scene here. And let's pick it up here in verse 7 of chapter 12. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon made war and his angels. And he was not strong enough, nor was a place found for him any longer in heaven. Now, some translators say he, that is the devil, he did not prevail. Others, like the New American Standard, read, they did not prevail, and they were not strong enough, meaning the demons, not the devil, depending on which translation is right. He means the devil, they means his demons. Here's these the two verses out of the New American Standard. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. Hard to imagine that they would still be allowed up in heaven, but hey, this is what the word says. Again, we don't understand it, but this is what it says. My question would be for you to ponder today on this Thursday is, has this already happened? Have these guys been kicked out of heaven yet? And if so, then what's your proof? My best guess is no, this hasn't happened yet. I believe that Satan, just like he did in Job's day, still has access to God. Because this seems to be the midpoint of the tribulation that this happens. Because of that number, 1,260 in here, that's specific. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. That's why I think that this hasn't happened yet. Verse 9, and that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called Diablos, or the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels cast out with him. Now, like I said, I don't think that's happened yet. We know that it didn't happen way back when, because we read in the book of Job, Satan had free access to God. And he showed up. He presented himself to the Lord like all of the other angels did. So we know then he still had access. So you can't say this happened way back in eternity past. So the end, he tells you exactly who the dragon is. You don't even need to speculate. He tells you who this is. That great dragon was cast out. That serpent, now he's going back. He's referring you back to the garden now. Now he's showing you that the serpent way back in the Genesis chapter 3, he's showing you now that, make no mistake about that symbolism, the serpent is Satan. The dragon is Satan. So when he calls him that serpent of old, called Diabolos and Satanus, now there's both Greek and Hebrew. Diabolos means accuser. Satanus means the adversary in Hebrew. Then it says, who deceives the whole world. Especially here during this time, the tribulation, he deceives people. Remember, it's to think that, well, here's my definition. Maybe you don't remember. Maybe you've never heard it. It's to think that something is something while something is actually something else. He deceives the whole world. If people knew and understood, just like the Wizard of Oz, he says, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Now, if some dog would only come and tug on that cape, open it up, and you saw who this was, this pimply-faced little pencil neck who's called the devil and Satan. Even God says when people see you, they're going to scoff at you. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, when they see him, they're going to say, are you the one? You with the pimple on your nose? Are you the one who caused all of this trouble? You see, it says he deceives the whole world. They think that something is something, while something is actually something else. Wait till we get to chapter 13 here coming up when we look at the false prophet. It says he's got the power to give life to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image to be killed. And now here in chapter 12, it says he deceives the whole world. People are going to be deceived to believe this guy. The Apostle Paul says this guy, he sits as God in the temple of God. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 2 through 4, showing himself that he is God. And he deceives the whole world. That great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. All right, now there's the proof that our understanding of what stars mean is spot on and accurate and legit. Because now he tells you as much. He's quit the symbolic understanding of that, calling them stars. Now he's going to just point blank, with no symbolism. He calls the dragon Satan, and he calls the stars demons, or the angels that follow him. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, because the accuser of our brothers, the one who accused them before our God day and night, has been thrown out of heaven. You know, you ever wonder, what does the devil do in his spare time? This is it. He accuses you and I day and night before the throne. You know, I believe this is the only truth the devil ever speaks. And I've been doing this search. Every time he stands before God, he doesn't lie. Why lie when you're talking to God? Don't waste your time lying to him. The devil lies to you and I. He's the father of lies. But when he stands before God, he doesn't lie. He didn't lie about Job. He says, look at his protection you got on your people. remove that protection, and he'll spit in your eye. You see, that's what the devil thinks about you and me until we prove him wrong. All that a man has, you will give for his life. That's what he believes about you today on this Thursday until you prove him wrong. Now, he's not going to lie here. He accuses God day and night of Paul Esposito's sins. And you want to talk about my sin? Why lie? Why lie? But you see, the good news is that's only half the story, by golly, because the Son of God shed his blood for me, and his blood obliterates my sin, in whom I've got redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. If I walk in the light as he is in the light, we've got fellowship with one another, and the blood of the Son of God cleanses me from all sin. God said it, he even said it in the Old Testament. Said it to Jeremiah the prophet, chapter 31, I think it is. He says, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. So that's only half truth, but it's truth. You want to accuse me before God of my sins? Yeah, that's right. I'm a sinner, devil. But that's not the whole truth. The whole truth is greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Sinner? Yeah, that's right. I'm a saint that still sins. You're right. You can tell God the sins that I've committed, but that's only half the story. The other half of the story is the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me and you from all sin. That's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Thank you, Jesus. We're out of time. We'll pick it up right here tomorrow. We'll get into chapter 13 tomorrow. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. He's Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. This is Denny Nugent with today's question for John. It's from the book of Revelation, where chapters 2 and 3 are well known for describing the condition of just a handful of churches. However, Revelation is a book devoted primarily to the unfolding of future events. Well, John, what do we make of those churches that are mentioned there?
Well, they are actually seven churches in seven different cities in the province of ancient Asia Minor, which today would be the area of Turkey. That happens to be a listing of the towns that were on the postal route. In other words, if you were going to deliver the mail throughout Asia Minor, you would start at Ephesus, and then you would go through those seven cities delivering the mail. There's little doubt that when John received the book of Revelation, all the visions, and wrote the whole thing down, there with him on the Isle of Patmos was a minister or a pastor from each of those seven churches. They're called the messengers of the seven churches. No doubt, a copy of Revelation was made for each one of them, and they took them back to those seven churches to be read. So they are actual churches. They are examples of the kinds of churches that exist in every era. So we get history, and we also get a model for the kinds of churches that we still see even today. Dead churches, alive churches, evangelistic churches, cold-hearted churches, they're all there. The book of Revelation begins with history, giving us a picture of the church, and then moves to the future.
You're listening to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more in-depth teaching from the book of Revelation, visit MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Portions of WMIE's broadcasting day are underwritten by Treasure Your Landscape.
Treasure Your Landscape is a licensed and insured family business based in Brevard County with many years of experience in the landscaping business. They always work hard to gain your